Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and have a seat, church. How was worship this morning? All right. Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, if you have a Bible. If you don't, that's okay. No judgment. We have the verses on the screens for you. My name is Ray. I'm one of the pastors here. Let's pray before we start. Father, thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you that we can sing like we just did, that we know that it is finished, that you have the last word, that your blood was enough to break every chain, and we are so thankful for that. I pray, Lord, that that would be on our hearts as we study your word, that we would understand the chains that have been broken, the bondage that is no longer there, that we would live in freedom. Lord, like our namesake for this series, that we would be, in fact, bold, audacious, and lion-hearted. We love you. We give you this morning, and in advance, we give you praise for everything good that comes out today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Good morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, I'll be starting. We've been in chapter 12 for our key verse for the series, but I want to kind of go back just a little bit and talk about chapter 10. Now, the writer of Hebrews is talking to the church, and he's reminding them of what they've gone through. He said, you've been persecuted, you've been thrown in prison, you've been thrown in jail, some of your friends have died, some of your friends have been beaten, and then he starts here. In verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10, and he says this. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he's quoting Isaiah here, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And, quoting Habakkuk, he says, but my righteousness, one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure, and in the one who shrinks back. Verse 39, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. The Message translation puts this last verse this way, but we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, no. This is what's going on. He says, oh, no. We stay with it. We survive trusting all the way. We're not quitters. Oh, no. We survive. I love the Message translation because it always makes you feel like sacrilegious, but it also brings things in a new light. You're like, okay, wow, that's a different way of putting it. We're not quitters who lose out, no, we stay with it, we survive, we push through, we move on. And today's sermon I've entitled, No Holds Barred. Now in a wrestling match, MMA, or even in some type of warfare, if somebody says no holds barred, it means no limitations, no restrictions, no arbitrary rules. It's whatever goes in this match. There's no holds barred. There's nothing holding you back. Now, I believe that there are certain limitations that I have placed on my life that aren't from God, that may be religious or spiritual. I believe that there are some restrictions and limitations that Satan puts on God's people that really aren't there. We're there in our chains, but the chains have been broken, and we haven't moved on yet. We talked a little bit about that last week. And then, I believe there are some rules and restrictions that the church begins to put upon its people. And we start to put kind of these restrictions and these borders and these limits. And we say, you can't go here, and you can't do this, and you must do it this way. Tradition for the sake of tradition. Now, I want to get into the scripture here. But before I do, I want to explain something. By no means today am I trying to say that in the Christian walk, everything goes. That's not fair. That's not biblical. But I am trying to say this. There are some limitations and restrictions that don't need to be there that we're holding on to a little too tightly, in my opinion. So, Mark chapter 5, we're going to study Mark 5 today based off of Hebrews 10, and I promise we'll get back to Hebrews 10. But keeping that in mind, we're not quitters. Oh no, we survive, we push through, and we trust all the way. Mark chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus has come in. He has just crossed the Sea of Galilee. He met the desperate demon-possessed man. He healed him, delivered him. The demon-possessed man goes into the Gentile villages and tells everybody about Jesus. Jesus then crosses back over the Sea of Galilee. A man named Jairus comes to him and says, "Sir, I have a servant who's sick, and I really need your help. Could you come?" Jesus says, "Well, show me the way." So he begins following this prominent leader in the community to his house. And on the way, the Bible says that crowds are pressing upon him. And that's where we pick up in verse 24, part B. It says, "And the great crowd followed him and thronged about him." Verse 25, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse." So here we find ourselves, we'll stop there for a moment, and Jesus is on his way, and then it just kind of puts like almost in biblical parentheses, and then there was this woman, and she had an illness, a hemorrhage, that she had been suffering from for 12 years, and she had seen doctors. She had spent all her money and was growing worse. The Bible tells us five things plus one about her. One, the condition was not good. It was very uncomfortable. In fact, she was probably experiencing anemia, weakness, weight loss. It was uncomfortable. It was embarrassing. It was shameful to the culture. Second, it says that she had sought out help. She had gone from doctor to doctor, physician to physician, healer to healer, spent all of her money, number three, spent it all, and had been dealing with it for 12 full years. This isn't something that just came upon her overnight. This was a struggle that she had carried with her for the last more than a decade. And so here she is, and she's suffering all of this. We have to understand this. In Leviticus 15, in the Hebrew law, observed in this chapter during this day, she was considered ceremonially and physically what they would call unclean. So if you had leprosy or an ailment like this, Leviticus chapter 15 outlines what you get to do and what you don't get to do. So one of the things she couldn't do would be public worship. She could never go even to the women's outer court of the temple. She wasn't allowed in there. If she were to lie on a bed or a couch or sit on a chair, that chair would be what they called, in Leviticus 15, defiled and unclean. In fact, we have history reporting that those suffering from other ailments like leprosy would have to shout at a distance to people coming their way, "I'm unclean," to give them a warning. "Hey, if you come near me, you might get unclean too." So here she is, 12 years of suffering. She can't touch anyone, have any real human interaction. She's lonely, depressed, and scared. She spent all her money, seen every doctor, and then if she touches someone, they become defiled for the full day. They have to go take a bath, have to do the ceremonial cleaning of themselves, and they have to get out of the camp until they're deemed clean by a priest. And then she's broke, it says. She doesn't have any money. There's a reason for this. I believe that because of her ailment, that if she was married, she was no longer married, because she couldn't have relations with her husband nor even be around him. And I also believe that she didn't have kids because of this ailment. And then it says something, number five, the things that we learn. She was only getting worse. That out of everything in her life, out of this ailment, everything she had tried, all of her money, all of her efforts, everyone she knew who would abandon her, it says, and she only grew worse. This is how I interpret this text. This is a terminal illness. She is going to die from this ailment. And number six, the Bible tells us right here, she only grew worse. Verse 27, number six. When she heard the reports about Jesus, she was suffering, she was sick, she was terminal, she was broke, she was alone, and she was scared, but she heard about Jesus. She heard the message of hope that he had been traveling and healing the blind, the sick, and the lame, that he had raised somebody from the dead, that miracles were happening, that the man who was demon-possessed on the other side of the Sea of Galilee that was living in the tombs, he was delivered, and now he's sane and in his right mind, and she hears he's coming through the town, and she sees this enormous crowd, and she starts pushing her way through. Verse 27, she heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately, it says, verse 29, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Everything else has failed. And she turns to what she has heard is the unfailing one. I want to make a couple of observations about this woman, who I believe is a biblical, scriptural hero and a lion heart. Number one, she's a rule breaker. She knew she's unclean. She knew that pushing her way through that crowd made everyone she touched and came in contact with unclean. And she knew that she shouldn't have touched not a single person. She broke the rules. She should be outside of the city. She should be alone, alienated, secluded. She can't be around people. But she pushes her way through a crowd to touch what she says, just even the edge, the hem, the fringe of his garment. If I can just touch him, then maybe I'll be healed. I'll be made well. She broke the rules. She's a rule breaker. Number two, she is a risk taker. Here's what I see. I see this woman breaking the rules, pushing her way through the crowd, and I wonder, what if someone would have recognized her? What if somebody would have said, that's the girl who's outside the camp who's unclean? What could have happened would have been that somebody would have called her out, you're unclean. What are you doing in the crowd defiling all these people? And the crowd, realizing who she was, would have backed away and maybe, just maybe, got angry enough to take her outside the city and to stone her to death. Something that was very common in this day. That the crowd would have gotten in such an uproar that she would have been murdered for making them all unclean. She took the risk of not only the public shame that would have coupled with her exposure, but she took the risk of dying just to maybe touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And she pushed through with her terminal illness, her weak body, her frail bones, a crowd of people with all the energy she could muster up just to touch Jesus, knowing that she was breaking the rules and that she was taking a risk. She's a rule breaker. She's a risk taker. And number three, and only because I need to rhyme things sometimes, she's a runescaper. Anybody know what RuneScape is? Okay, the nerds just raised their hands. RuneScape is a giant online multiplayer, game, you could say. Sorry I called it a game. I'm sure I offended you, nerd. It has 200 million users that log onto the line and have this interaction on the website and have this little character that they take around. It's called RuneScape. It's a fantasy land. It's not real. It's all fantasy. I believe that there is a sense of fantasy that I get from this woman in this text. She has a major misconception about how she can be healed. This is what she thinks. If I touch his garment, if I touch his clothes, then I'll be healed. That can't be. And we're going to find that out later. Jesus clears up that misconception. But here's what I do appreciate about her fantasy, her misconception, and I would even say superstition. I appreciate it because she's a rule breaker, a risk taker, but she's also willing to dream. She's also willing to dream. In the Christian life, you have to break some rules, take some risks, and dream some dreams, or you're going to stay put outside the camp, alienated and alone? Are we willing, as believers, to do like this woman did? Take a risk. If I go out there, what could happen? If I go out there and I'm exposed, what might happen? I'm going to dream big. Maybe, just maybe, God will act on my behalf. Maybe, just maybe, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. And so many Christians, so many of us believers, we stop and we say, that could never happen. We call those people naysayers. We have some big dreams for this church. We have some really big dreams. And a lot of people hear it, and they're like, that's awesome. Go for it. I'll be praying for you guys. And other people are like, what? That's stupid. That's lame. And I got to say, listen, we're taking a risk. We're breaking some rules. I break a lot of rules. That's my character. I get in trouble for it a lot. But I want to dream some God-sized dreams. And I believe that sometimes in my life, I pray man-sized prayer and dream man-sized dreams, things that I can accomplish, things that I can attain, things that I know we can achieve. But what if, like this woman, I was willing to break some rules, take some risks, and dream some God-sized dreams and pray some God-sized prayers? What could happen? Verse 30, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? The crowd is following him. Disciples all around him, almost like a guard. She touches his garment. She's immediately healed, the Bible says. And Jesus stops. That means everybody stops. The teacher stopped. And the teacher, they called him, turns around. Who touched my garment? You could hear a pin drop in that crowd. People, not me. The disciples, yeah, who? Who touched Jesus' garment? And then one of the disciples, as dense as they always are, says, verse 31, you see the crowd pressing around you, Jesus, and yet you say, who touched me? Ignoring the disciple, he looks up again, verse 32, and he looked around to see who'd done it. What a profound point in Scripture that the woman touches his garment, she's immediately healed, he feels power leave him, he stops, turns around and says, who touched me? And when the disciples say, Jesus, everyone's touching you, he says, who touched me? And it says this, he looked around. One translation says, and he continued his search. I love it. That he wants not just a relationship of God and man, of power and mankind, but he wants a personal conversation with this woman. He searches something more, a better connection, and he stops, he turns around, and he says, who touched me? And the disciples start noticing him searching, and no doubt they started searching too. Yeah, did you touch Jesus? Was it you? Was it you? Was it you? And then some zealous follower of Jesus shouts out, who touched him? Like if he's angry, like Jesus must want to know who it is, bring him forward. And out of the crowd, as people start looking around accusingly, who did it? You hear a weak voice, a meager shout, I did. No doubt the people stopped, looked, who was it? The woman comes to the feet of Jesus and she says, I touched you. I love this. I think it's interesting. Verse 33 says, but when the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth, she spilled her guts. I believe that this is one of the boldest actions in all of Scripture. And you're going to say, well, it says she came before him with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean it's not bold. Boldness has nothing to do with your emotion. The most audacious faith falls before the holiness of God with fear and trembling. Just because you're scared, it doesn't mean you can't be bold. And this is what this woman does. I'm scared to death. In fact, I'm trembling. But she falls before Jesus. And time and time and time again, God has honored such faith. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at the great men and women who have walked the pages of Scripture. I guarantee you that some of them were shaken in their boots at some of their boldest moments. And here she is, a lion heart in my opinion. And she says, it was me. And then it says, she spilled it. I'm unclean. I'm defiled. I'm terminally ill. And I believe that you just healed me. You? Some disciple steps in stupidly. You touched the teacher. How dare you? The religious leaders, she's unclean. They're waiting. What is Jesus going to do? Because she touched him. So that means he's unclean and they're waiting. Let's see what Jesus does right now. And he looks at her and he says something that stirs up the heart of every person in that crowd. In verse 34, he says this, daughter, just met her. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Daughter, that's a sign of adoption there. You're not just a woman who defiled me. You're my daughter. You're mine. You belong to me. You're family. Your faith, clearing up the misconception, not my garment, not the hem of my robe, not your superstition or your fantasy, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. And then he says this, go in peace, meaning crowd, don't you dare touch her. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. You are no longer unclean. You're no longer unclean because your faith has healed you. So go in peace. So not only does Jesus restore her physical health, but I believe he stopped and turned around, called her his daughter, exposes her to the crowd as the woman who's defiled with her ailment, and then says, you're well, you're no longer sick, go in peace. In other words, he's saying, not only will I reinstate your physical health, but I'm going to restore your place in society so that the people can't ostracize you any longer. You're part of the family. You're a daughter. You can be one of my disciples, one of my followers. And he explains what happens. I love that Jesus clears up misconceptions in my life. A lot of times something good will happen and be like, oh, it must have been this or it must have been that. And God's like, I did it. It wasn't the hem of your garment. It wasn't a good plan. It wasn't your planning. It wasn't your structure. It wasn't a cool website. It was me. It's me. So that anything good that happens in this church or in your life or in your Christian walk as you follow Jesus always points to Jesus. It's Jesus. We can blame it on other things, and it might even be as a result of some of those things, but the glory always goes to Christ. Here's one misconception that we have to clear up. She thought, if I touch Jesus, then I'll be healed. Proximity to Jesus doesn't save you. Proximity to Christ doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. And I believe that there are some in this room who feel like, well, I'm close to God. I study the Bible. Being close to the Bible doesn't save you. Knowing the scriptures won't heal you. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus heals you, saves you, redeems you, and uses you. Proximity to Christ doesn't equal salvation. It was her audacious, rule-breaking, scandalous faith in Jesus that saved her, that healed her, that redeemed her. Nothing else. Jesus had already explained, I'm not here for religious people. Her doctrine is bad. Take note of that. She has bad doctrine. She's messing up the truth about God. If his garment can heal me. No, Jesus healed you. He clears up the misconception, but I love this. Jesus doesn't come to her and say, you're so dumb, your doctrine sucks. But I guess I'll heal you. That's what we think about other churches sometimes, right? Their doctrine's way off. It's like, is Jesus saving people? Then good. Because I'll take somebody's efforts in reaching the lost of Jesus Christ over your way of condemning them any day of the week. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to honor your faith. Your doctrine's lame, daughter, but I'll clear it up. It was your faith. It wasn't my garment. It's your faith. Jesus is willing to overlook our misconceptions of who God is so that we can see him for who he truly is. He's willing to say, that's wrong, but one second, push that away. This is what heals you. This is what saves you. My love for you, my compassion upon you, the power of God that lives within me. So, here's what I think. She's a risk taker. She's a rule breaker. She lives in a fantasy land. But Jesus uses her to speak to the crowd. It's your faith. It's not my garment. It's your faith. The next chapter says that as Jesus traveled throughout the land, people began to touch his garment and be healed. I wonder if other people had thought what she thought before. Touch his garment, touch his garment. They had gone and it's his garment. Oh, it's his sash. It's the hem of his clothes. And they've been touching and none of them had been healed. But this might have been the very first time that somebody touched it and had faith. And so Jesus says, let me tell the crowd, it was her faith. And then the next chapter says, so everywhere he went, people touched his garment and were healed. In other words, Jesus used this as an example to tell the people, you've been touching me this whole time and nothing's happening because you don't have faith. That Jesus gives them the formula to healing. It's not my garment plus your hand equals healing. It's me plus nothing equals salvation. It's me. And I love that Jesus clarifies that. But Jesus is also a risk taker. He's there in the crowd and he stops. And he knows she's unclean. And he knows if I expose her, she could be killed. I've just been made unclean. She touched me. They could stone me for not going and getting cleaned and washed. This could become an uproar. The religious leaders could stir up the crowd, and I can die today. Oh, God, give us faith that we would say, I did it. It was me. So that Jesus can say, no, it wasn't. It was me. That he would take the risk, and he did. Our key verse, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Despising the shame, enduring the cross, so that what? You may not grow weary, so that you may not be faint of heart. The result of Jesus' risks, of Jesus' rule breaking, is for our benefit. We gain from his pain, from his risks, from him breaking the rules. Peter broke some rules, got thrown into jail a few times. So did Paul. Joshua broke some rules of warfare. He didn't let him retreat. The Bible says that after Gilgal, he marched through the night, asked God to make the sun stand still, and they killed every last one of their enemies. Every one of them. He's a rule breaker. Elijah broke rules. He had a price on his head. He made fun of the great prophets of Baal, Baal. He laughed at them. What a rule breaker. The risk. You're one prophet of God. There's 800 false prophets. They have knives and swords and are dancing around a calf on an altar. And you're there by yourself pointing and laughing, making fun of their God. That's a risk. That is a risk. Rahab, they broke rules letting her help. They took risks letting her help. And God honored it. You see, a lion heart, someone bold and audacious with their faith in Christ, takes some risks, breaks a lot of rules, and is willing to dream a God-sized dream. And I'm asking you in your walk with Christ, as a Jesus follower, are you breaking some rules, taking some risks, and dreaming God-sized dreams? Because there's this comfort zone all around us that we like to stay in. I go to church on Sunday mornings, read my Bible 2-3 times a week, pray with my wife before we go to bed, pray for my kids, let's fold our hands before our meal, and that's my comfort zone. I like it. Tell people I go to church. Risk is stepping out and inviting someone to church. Risk is stepping out and saying, showing somebody that isn't a Jesus follower what you learned in your quiet time this morning. Breaking a rule is talking about Jesus at work. Not supposed to do that, right? But do it. Break some rules. God will honor it. Dream some big dreams. Man, there's been people, and there's even one person in my life that I've been praying for years, no joke, years. God, please save them. Show them yourself. And people take that person to church every week. He goes to church every week, and he still doesn't know Jesus. Now, I can stop praying and say, maybe it's not God's will, or I can start saying, God, don't just save him, save all of his friends. Don't just redeem him. Redeem everybody he knows. Have everyone see what you can do in a man's heart. Now, God hasn't answered that prayer yet, but I would rather pray a God-sized prayer than a measly man-sized prayer. And I would rather break some rules, some molds, some traditions, some routine, get outside of my personal space bubble, and be audacious with my faith. Be bold, be daring. Now, one of the foundational motivations behind us planting this church was that we would break some rules. And we're going to keep breaking rules. And I'm not going to apologize for it, because I believe that our rule-breaking, our risk-taking, and our big dreaming is going to be honored by God. I believe that. And my question to you is, are we willing to put aside tradition, routine, comfort, not just for this church, in our young stages of a plant, but in our lives? Are we willing to break our routine for the sake of people hearing about Jesus? Because faith, true faith, genuine faith, and faith that God rewards takes risks, breaks rules, dreams big. Now, you can be crushed like this woman. You can be crushed by illness or pain. Maybe it's something from your past. Maybe it's a circumstance that surrounds you. Maybe you're actually physically ill. You can be crushed and overwhelmed. Or you can let Jesus have that final say in your life. Take some risks, break some rules, and you might just hear what this woman heard. Daughter, son, you're mine, and your faith has paid off. Faith pays off. Isn't that amazing? That God would look at us and reward our faith. I mean, our faith compared to his power just got to be somewhat humorous, right? Like, it's what? Oh, okay, I'll pay it off. I love the context of Mark chapter 5. I love it. She was unclean, and she defiles Jesus, and she becomes clean. That's the gospel. We are unclean. We are sinners. We are far from God. And we encounter Jesus and we become clean. I love it. We can stick to the rules. We can stick within our boundaries. We can stay within our confines. Or we can have a no-holds-barred walk with Jesus. Take some risks. Be bold. Step out in faith. In spite of whatever happens, despise that shame, press on towards our goal. And I believe that just like this woman, it will pay off. And the only answer, the only solution is not our faith, although it's involved, not our tactics, it's not the garment, it's not the avenue of our faith, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's always been Jesus, and it will always be Jesus. That's the gospel. I'm done putting boundaries around me, saying, well, you can preach this way, but not this way. That's too far. Stay within this bubble. Oh, well, you can share your faith with this person, but not your coworker. That's a little too far. Well, you can pray for God to do this in your life, but don't ask God to do that. That's outside of the boundaries. Man, I love, it became kind of a phenomenon in our culture, unfortunately, but you remember that prayer of Jabez? Where he says, he's got everything he needs, and he says, God, expand my boundaries, my borders. He says, God, take out the restrictions that I've put upon myself. I believe that there are some restrictions that we put upon ourselves. And God says, why are you living within these boundaries? Step out, break some rules, take some risks, dream some big dreams, and I promise that if I'm involved, it'll pay off. If Jesus is involved, our faith pays off. And that great exchange has occurred in many of your lives where you have touched Jesus. He has been defiled by your sin. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become clean, the righteousness of God. And then we walk away, and imagine this woman walking away from Jesus, being cleaned after 12 years of being defiled, 12 years of no human contact, 12 years of having to stay outside of the temple and church, 12 years of her ailment and her weakness, walking away clean and healed and redeemed and saved by Jesus, and still living by the same rules, still living outside the city, still not going into the temple, still not touching people. She's gonna live within the same boundaries? No. She's going to step outside. Jesus has redeemed her. And so many of us, we get saved and we keep the boundaries. We keep the limitations. Jesus came that we would have life and life abundant. That we would have life without borders, without boundaries. This is a no holds barred relationship with Christ. And so I ask you, I beg you, I plead with you, stop putting limitations on your life. Stop telling people, I can't do this. I'm not good enough for that. Jesus has redeemed you and he saved you. You're clean. You're pure. You're righteous. You can be like her. You can be a lionheart. Just take some risks. Dream some big dreams. Break some rules. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Get up here, Jacob. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteousness one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh no! Come on, try a little harder in here. Oh, no. And are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and are saved. That's a lion heart. I'm not one who shrinks back. I'm not one who's scared. You can tell me anything you want, and I might soak it in, and I might just let it roll off like water off a duck's back, because I'm not a quitter. Just like my boy Eugene Peterson, his translation. I love it. We're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We stay with it. We survive, trusting all the way. And here's my prayer for this church, if you would stand. That we would be so bold and so audacious and so scandalous with our faith, we would break some rules, we'd break some molds, we put our feet over the lines that have been drawn and say, God, do something. And I believe that he is a rewarder, Hebrews chapter 11, of those who diligently seek him. And if you believe it too, then start popping some of your personal space bubbles. Step outside of the ring. And it's no holds barred, baby. Go for it. If you break some rules, you might get into some trouble, but it might pay off. God might reward it. And what could happen with a group of people with the boldness of this weak, frail woman who screams out of the crowd, "It was me. I broke the rules. I did it. My fault. God, do what you have with me. I broke the rules. I'm unclean. I defiled you." What could happen? What could happen? If we started acting in that boldness so that Jesus could respond, "I did it. I did it." So at the end of the day, when the music settles, when the dust is gone, when everyone leaves, it's just Jesus. Father, I pray for these people. Lord, I'm loving getting to know some of them. Lord, we pray now that as we sing this song, that we would do it knowing that you are capable, that you are able, that as we sing the truth of what has happened at the cross, that it would just reverberate in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that we would have an oh no attitude this week. That you would empower this group of people to see that the boundaries are gone, the chains have been eliminated, the bars on the jailhouse have been broken, so that in our weakness, just like that woman, you would show yourself strong. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone here said,